Don't miss the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. You'll find the Maytag appliances you need when you need them at a great price. Plus, when you buy two select laundry appliances, you'll get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop Maytag at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to lead vocalist from the punk band H2O, and he also has a podcast called One Life, One Chance, Toby Morse. My favorite part of his interview was him talking about all of his 90s hip-hop knowledge. He really blew my mind. He had some great stories. He had an interesting Tupac story when he met Tupac, as well as all of his knowledge about De La Soul, Wu-Tang Clan, Black Moon, etc. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome for the first time on the podcast. He has his own podcast called One Life, One Chance. He's also the lead vocalist from the punk rock band H2O. Please welcome Toby Morse.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for
coming. That was beautiful.
Yeah,
man.
I mess around. I do it for 5 seconds and
wow.
I play kind of the same variation every other week or something. Right? I mean, it sounds the same.
That's sounds beautiful to me, man.
I'm just stoked you're here.
Thanks for having
me. The homie Chappelle linked us, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Lacey, yes.
How did you? Okay, can we start with this? How did y'all link up? Chappelle's off camera right now.
Yeah.
Chappelle's here too.
Mr. Lacey.
Yeah.
My friend told me about a comedian who was wearing punk rock t-shirts.
This guy?
Yeah, and sent me a link to his Instagram, and I saw him wearing like a Circle Jerk shirt or something.
Yeah.
And so I commented on there, and he hit me back or something. I don't know. We followed each other, and we started talking, and I realized he lives pretty close to my house.
And then
I adopted him pretty much.
And then you guys are best friends, right?
Yeah, it's my brother, man.
He described you as his
for sure.
best friend.
Yeah, man.
So what do you guys do? What kind of activities do you guys do?
We go hiking.
Okay.
We go hiking at Runyon Canyon.
And then you guys eat like a nice vegetarian meal?
Yeah, vegan meal.
Okay. And then what else?
What else? Sometimes we skateboard.
Yeah. You guys both were at the barracks, weren't you?
Yeah, my
With
wife
your
works.
Son?
Yeah.
You did a tray.
My son did.
You did some shit too.
Nah, I'm okay. I'm more of a ramp guy.
Yeah.
Are you a street skater?
Yeah, I haven't. I'm a little rusty right now, though.
Okay.
Although I love skating. I love the culture and everything. I'm just like, I can't keep up with these kids nowadays.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy all the stuff kids are doing at a young age.
So you have punk rock in your background, but then you also like Wu-Tang and Mobb Deep and all these
groups. Yeah, because I lived in New York in the early 90s. So I moved to New York in 88, so I got to be there during the best of everything.
So the
punk
Harold Hunter day. Like,
yeah,
I
knew Harold, yeah.
Vibe.
Yep,
well,
I see him at the clubs.
Hunter.
Yeah.
You
I
did.
See him at the clubs. I see him at he used to come to CBGB shows.
Yeah.
He would hang out. He would hang out. Yeah.
So
he
was
around.
That during when the movie Kids dropped? Because I just
before that. Yeah.
Before
I see him.
Kids.
Yeah, for sure.
So this
he
is
he was around.
So were you by the Brooklyn Banks and all that?
Yeah.
As well?
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
So what was describe what it was like living? I mean, because that must have been a great time to live.
I mean, for me, I was really deep into punk rock, obviously, but also hip hop as well. My wife worked at the Palladium. She worked at the Limelight. She worked at the Ritz. So we would go to hip hop shows at night and punk shows during the day.
You seen Tribe?
A million times.
What?
Yeah.
You've seen Tribe?
I have 3 Tribe Called Quest tattoos too. Yeah.
You've seen them?
Yeah, man.
So shout out to Rest in Peace Fife.
The Fife Dog, yeah, man.
Q-Tip, what people don't realize about Q-Tip, he's a great producer, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. He produced, was it One Love off of Illmatic?
Yeah. Well, do you know your stuff? Whoa, this guy's coming in hot. With the
no,
with
is
the
sick,
education.
Yeah. Well, the documentary is incredible too. Rappaport did the documentary.
Yeah, so I've seen that back in the day too.
Yeah.
What do you think? I like because since I know your stuff.
Yeah.
What's your opinion? What do you think their strongest album is?
Midnight Routers versus Low End Theory. It's really hard, man. Low End Theory is incredible.
Yeah.
They're both incredible. It's really hard to pick.
Because of Bob Powers as well, because, you know, Bob Powers mm-hmm. was mixing that down and everything.
It's hard because 36 Chambers came out the same day.
Damn, you're an encyclopedia. Holy moly.
I don't know if it's
guacamole.
Low End Theory and Midnight Routers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It must have been Low End Theory. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same day, release.
Do you remember how you even heard of Wu-Tang? I thought it was like a kung fu. I didn't know. I thought these guys were Chinese or something.
Interesting enough is that my wife worked at Playdium, and she, when they first came out, she told me they were going to be there. I heard the Protect Your Neck. It was on like the video box, the television show.
You know what? This guy knows his stuff. You know why I know? I know you know? Because that's the first thing they ever released. It was the Protect Your Neck 12-inch yeah. and the Method Man song on the B-side.
Yeah, I have the single still.
Yeah. Oh, you had the tape.
Still, I have
yeah.
it still, yeah.
Dude, you have that?
Uh-huh.
That's probably worth money,
it
dude.
Is. It's got like this, the thing on like the weapons. Yeah.
Yeah. Did it have the paper sleeve, the board,
yeah,
paper
yeah.
board?
Uh-huh.
And it
it's
had
black
the,
and white.
And it just the white and black mm-hmm. with the Bible, like the Wu-Tang Bible thing. And
that's
the sword.
What it is. I have that. Yep.
And then with the sword through it. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah.
So I got to see them perform that for Hot 97 at the Palladium when it first came out.
Yeah, wow.
And then I took the train out to Staten Island once, and I went shopping at the WooWear store when I was a kid.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
WooWear. So Wu-Tang had their own
clothing line
called WooWear.
Yep.
That was hot in like 94.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Something like that. What other groups? Because I'm thinking Mobb Deep, right?
Love Mobb Deep.
Infamous.
Infamous. Credible.
Dude, this is going to fly by. This guy I'm nerding out with this guy already. Keep going.
Interesting enough, the logo for Mobb Deep, the dragon is the same dragon used by a hardcore band called Sick of It All.
Yeah.
So they both had the same dragon. So Mobb Deep had it on their hands for their crew.
Yeah.
It was also part of a hardcore crew, the same dragons. I have them tattooed on me.
That's sick. That's sick.
So the worlds kind of collided at one point at Loud Records, and then they ended up doing a remix for one of the Mobb Deep songs, Survival of the Fittest.
Yeah. That's so great. Yeah. Their production and just their stance on.
Yeah, incredible, man.
Incredible. What are some of the other groups that kind of like kind of stand out during that time period?
Black Moon.
I mean. So I gotta give a shout out to Buckshot Shorty.
Buckshot Shorty, yeah, dude.
DJ Evil D.
Yeah, Diamond. Yeah. I love Diamond D.
Oh, Diamond D. Oh, Large Professor.
OC Word Life album.
Holy moly, goddamn, dude! You have the knowledge.
Yeah. OC Word Life's incredible.
Do people
man.
Trip out because you're a punk rock guy,
know,
but you know so much about like what you're doing right now is blowing my mind. I'm like he's like, how do you? So you know all this
stuff?
Yeah.
And I was in the Onyx Slam video.
You were slam.
Yeah, I'm in that video.
Oh my god, that was a hit.
And I'm in the remix. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm in the House of Pain video, Shamrocks and Shenanigans.
So shout out to
House of Pain.
Yeah,
shout out to
Pain.
Onyx.
Yeah.
Love Onyx. They were great guys back then. I haven't seen them in years.
DJ. Well, who's the Danny Boy?
Danny Boy Everlast.
Yeah.
Lethal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you just happen to be on live on location? During
one
that?
Of my friends, Drew Stone. Shout out to Drew Stone. Yeah. He has a podcast called the New York Hardcore Chronicles. He directed those videos.
Yeah.
So he invited us down to be in those. And I was in the Shifty one too. Shifty, low down, gritty.
Yeah.
And
I'm
robbing a bodega in that video.
Oh, holy smokes.
Yeah, man.
You're in all those like historical 90s. Like mm-hmm. they showed that on YoMTV Raps.
Of course.
Everything.
And then Biohazard did a remix for Slam. It was called Bionics.
Yeah.
So that was a remix. And we shot that in New York at one of the venues.
That's
I remember Redman
so
came. We were all stage diving on top of everybody.
So you saw how is Redman like, is he cool in person? Like
back then he was cool. I love Redman. He's
yeah, yeah.
super underrated though.
Yeah.
I like that Eminem always mentions him though.
That's cool. Right. Yeah. EPMD as well.
Amazing EPMD. Crazy.
So you know
third
all
base.
The
got to see them NYU back in the day.
Yeah, walk into the
step
AM.
Into the AM.
Yeah, step into the AM. Yeah, step
dun,
into the
dun,
AM.
Dun,
yeah.
dun.
Oh, I just remember the Gas Face video.
Gas Face, amazing.
So, because rest in peace.
KMD.
KMD,
MF
rest
Doom.
In peace. Yeah, MF Doom. People don't know. God, you're blowing my fucking mind right now.
People don't know
hold
that KMD
up,
was
you're blowing my
from,
mind.
That is MF
yeah,
Doom.
Zev Love X.
He changed his whole thing.
Yeah, so he was Zev Love X.
He gets props, too.
Then there's Sub Rock.
Yep.
Rest in peace, right? But then he went away and came back as MF
Doom. Flipped his whole everything, dude.
But do you remember that Peach Fuzz video?
Peach Fuzz. Yeah, I do remember that. How about Chi Ali?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I heard, didn't he go to jail?
He did go to jail, yeah.
Did dude, how does this guy know so much? Like, everything you're doing, usually, like, with guests, I'm, like, a couple steps ahead of them. But with you, you're like, oh, no, know about that. Know about that. Or been yeah, there. I was there.
I lived
I
in
there.
New York at the best time. I was. I absorbed it all, man. I loved it all. I got to see everything, man.
Yeah.
I saw Oh Dirty Bastard when he was wanted by the police. When Wu-Tang performed, at the end of the night, they started playing Shimmy. And all of a sudden, the light came on. He came out with a hoodie on. And the whole... I got goosebumps right now. He came
You're doing something to me, too.
Started doing all of his hits. And then he got arrested on 42nd Street. He got locked up after at McDonald's on 42nd Street. He was wanted at that point.
I always knew he was a real dude.
Yeah, the super
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I've
yeah.
seen that documentary. I don't know which one, but the one where he, you know, he's like... You know, he's got several kids and food stamps and... Oh, even
that's
his album
he,
cover.
But that's when he got in trouble, though.
The food stamps?
Yeah, because he was flaunting all the money, but he was also on welfare. That's why they came after him. That was a big deal, dude.
But he used that for his album cover.
But he was also talking about it on MTV, you know what I mean?
You can't do that.
No, I don't think you can. I mean, he did, because
it's a program.
I thought he was punk rock. He was really punk rock. He didn't give a shit.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
How did he pass again? Was it drugs?
I think so, yeah. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah. So you're around during like the when all the good music, all the because everything in the 90s from especially New York,
totally
everything was a hit, right? Like
and you couldn't, it was everywhere. So everybody's so connected in New York. You're on top of each other,
mm-hmm.
all different cultures,
mm-hmm.
skateboarders, punk rock, hip hop, everything. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And then what was like the what was like just this the party? Like, did you party back then or no?
Never partied ever.
Ever.
Mm-mm.
No,
I never tried anything my whole life now.
Beer?
Not even a Red Bull.
No beer, no...
Smoke, no drinks, no drugs.
So you're really, truly straight edge.
Yeah, my whole life, yeah.
Straight, like fully, like for real.
Fully for real, yeah.
So no caffeine?
No, I do caffeine. That's not part of it.
But no
for some
weed?
Some people it is. Never try weed, no.
No alcohol?
Nope.
Nothing?
Nope.
And then why? When did you decide to do that?
When I was 13, I found out about Minor Threat. Because I was already a skateboarder, listening to punk rock.
Right.
And then I found Minor Threat and I could relate to their lyrics. And I hadn't tried anything at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? This is cool. They're aggressive. I could skate to them and they're drug free. Sign me up. That's me. And I just stuck to it my whole life.
Did you ever see them live?
I wish. No, I didn't.
But
I saw another band, Embrace. It was another band. From, yeah.
And then you never went to the, because that would have been epic as well. Like,
I know.
Or a Bad Brains maybe?
Oh, I see Bad Brains a bunch, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've seen Bad...
Mm-hmm. And we play with them too. My band got to play with them a couple times.
Your band played with Bad Brains?
Mm-hmm.
This guy's blowing my mind. Your band, really? What else is going on, man?
And I met Tupac before he had tattoos.
So, okay, let's talk about that. Tell me that story.
Backstage, House of Pain show in New York. It might have been House of Pain, Ice-T. I'm not sure what show it was. Maybe the Roseland. But I was chilling backstage. It's in a book called Who Shot You?
Yeah.
It's a hip-hop book. I'm in there.
Okay.
With House of Pain. And I had my shirt off, and I was pretty heavily tatted at a young age. And he came backstage, and I think he was filming Juice. He had his hair cut like in the Juice movie.
Mm-hmm. Great movie, by the way.
Great movie.
Great
Incredible
movie.
Actor.
Yes.
And he came back there, and he came up to me, because I have a stomach tattoo. And he's like, yo. He's like, you white boys are crazy with him tattoos. He had no tattoos.
But he saw your stomach tattoo?
Yeah, I remember him shaking my hand. I didn't see any tattoos on him. I had a stomach rocker, you know?
But he got a stomach tattoo.
I know. I'm not saying it's not for me.
But maybe let's put the pieces together, Toby. That you might have had it. You had an influence on him, maybe.
But it was a moment where I was like, okay, I know this guy from Juice. I know him from Digital Underground. He was a dancer then. I think he had some records out of it. I don't know if...
Dude, this guy knows about Digital Underground.
I don't know
well.
If Brenda had a baby. I don't know if Brenda had a baby was out yet. Something was out.
Right.
That wasn't out yet.
Okay, it wasn't out yet. Anyway, he said, yo, you guys are crazy tattoos. And that was the last time I ever saw him. And then the next time, he's just huge, you know?
Was he cool?
Super cool.
So he's so not cool. Like he is depicted in documentaries where he's this overly aggressive dude. He was actually down to earth, cool dude.
Yeah, it was when he was like more of an actor. It was before like he shaved
right,
his head.
Right,
he got
right,
tatted
right.
Up and it was different.
That's
yeah.
insane.
And
then,
yeah.
Are you, so you're good. You're cool with Everlast as well.
Uh-huh.
Like, so what made him? What happened to their band? And what made him do the Whitley?
I don't know about. I don't know about that. I love that record though.
Whitey Ford sings the blues.
Yeah.
Yeah,
great record, man.
This guy's just God.
I love that record.
Yeah. So, but that I mean, so that he's just musically talented all around.
I thought that was great when he did. I like when people try different things and push themselves. You know.
Yeah.
He can sing and play guitar. It's awesome.
Before we started filming, you Chappelle grabbed my De La Soul CD, and you kind of gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah, De La Soul, my knuckles. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, those are my homies too. Shout out to De La Soul.
What the hell is going on here? Where have you been, brother? You belong on this platform. You got De La Soul on your knuckles?
Yeah, I got a couple of De La Soul tattoos, yeah.
I saw them in eighth grade, and I didn't know about them. I just knew, remember, Three is the Magic.
Come on, man.
That's the first song
Three
I heard.
Three Feet High Rising, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'm like, my friends were going to, in San Diego, there was a concert. It was Sugar Cubes.
Sick.
Public Image Limited, PIL.
Come on, man, yeah, of course.
And then a couple other bands, and De La Soul was in the lineup.
It's cool.
And I, you know, it was a very good eclectic mix.
I love that mix.
And I saw them and I really liked what they did.
Yeah.
And I've been a fan of, like, so what? You must really
Native
like.
Native Tongues, man. Jungle Brothers, De La,
dude,
Tribe.
This guy knows his shit, dude. Usually, like, people, I'm just telling you, Toby, let me just, I want to give you props right now. Not out of all my guests, out of, like, I know 90% more as far as this music, this genre stuff. But you're beating me to the punch, right? Every time. He's like, yeah, been there, knew that. Okay, so let me ask, can I throw kind of a curveball at you?
Give me a curveball, let's get it.
Balloon Mind State, Stakes is High, 3 Feet High and Rising, or De La Soul is Dead? Or what's the best one?
I mean, 3 Feet High and Rising is a classic.
I mean.
De La Soul is Dead is incredible too, man. That was like.
Shout out to Prince Paul.
Yeah, Prince Paul. I mean, I feel like, I like Balloon Mind State too.
There was some great album.
Stakes is High. Stakes
yeah, that was high. A classic.
Yeah.
But Stakes is High was just so, it was raw, dude. That the intro thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But De La changed the game as far as everybody went, going from chains to medallions.
Yeah.
And like hippie vibe. I love the positivity about it.
Like the garments too.
All that. They changed everything with
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to Jungle so Brothers too.
Jungle
like,
Brothers.
Because they don't get enough props.
They don't.
I want to give them a shout out. Jungle
I
Brothers.
I love Jungle Brothers,
yeah.
man.
They were a psychedelic man.
Done. What's it called? Forces of Nature.
And then, what's that? What's that? The 40 Below Trooper, something like that. Spitting Wicked Randomness, like songs like that, where
okay.
it was super like psychedelic to me. Like mm-hmm. this is like not like stuff that I've heard. I'm like,
yeah, it was different back then.
Yeah,
I guess it was original backpack.
Yeah, and they were really experimental. I could mm-hmm. tell. And then, who are we missing? Oh, Black Sheep.
Black
as well.
Sheep, incredible too.
Drez is one of my favorites.
I love Drez.
Yeah.
That was an incredible record, Wolf in Sheep's Clothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus Black God. Sheep.
You didn't tell me he knows so much. He kind of told me. He's like, you know. He just said one thing. He goes, you know, Toby likes Wu-Tang.
Yeah, oh, more
like,
than that.
No, you know way more
How
than
about
that.
KRS-One, man? Come on, it's one of the best ever, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Like, people don't give him enough props.
No, he's like one
so
of the greatest.
Shout out to KRS-One
and
as well.
And Rakim, too, man.
Rakim.
I had a great Rakim moment recently. Want to hear about it?
Yes, please.
I got a
Time's flying by with you because you're just.
I got a portrait of him on back of my head from Tim Hendricks of a Rakim on back of my head.
Yeah.
And so I posted this when I got it. And this kid DM'd me and he said, hey, I love the tattoo. My dad wants to talk to you. And I looked at the kid. He'd been following me. It was Rakim's son. I was like, is this real? He's like, let me video call you through Instagram. I was like, I don't know how to do that. I'm 51 years old. I give my number, and all of a sudden, 2 seconds later, I get a FaceTime from Rakim.
FaceTime?
I have a screenshot on my phone. I'll show you after. And it's Rakim. He's like, yo, love the tattoo. Thank you for doing that. It's people like you made me continue to do what I do. They made my whole day. It was I was just sitting like, I was in
Whoa,
such shock, dude.
That's insane,
dude. It was crazy. I never thought in my life that Rakim would ever, I don't know, FaceTime. It was crazy, dude.
Like, we're skipping a lot. I'm sorry for sticking. You're just intriguing me with your knowledge right now, Toby. Can we get, I want to get into, let's backtrack as
sure,
far as
it.
How did you get into this punk band and how did that
sure.
formulate and get signed and all that stuff?
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up on punk rock and skateboarding. That kind of came hand in hand back then. Mm-hmm. My dream was to move to New York and be part of the punk scene there. Mm-hmm. I really didn't have any goals. You know, my mom raised 3 kids on her own. My dad died when I was very young. We moved all around the East Coast. So at 18, I was like, I'm moving to New York. I'm going to work in the music business.
Mm-hmm,
I love
mm-hmm.
CBGBs. I love the Ramones. Mm-hmm. I love hip hop. I break dance,
yeah.
everything.
Wait, you break dance
oh,
too?
Oh, hell yeah. I used to teach break dancing in the 80s.
This dude used to b-boy? You did the 90, you did upper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You had mm-hmm. ups and the whole thing.
Windmills, head spins, hand spins, yeah.
You never told me he breakdanced.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, he knows
that's
everything,
one thing
yeah.
you didn't say that he did.
So I was intrigued by New York.
That's you're like, intriguing me, dude.
Okay, so
keep going. Holy shit.
So I moved in when I was 18, started working at record labels, and then became a roadie for some punk bands called Sick of It All and some other bands mm-hmm. we traveled. And then I started writing stuff in a journal. I was like, I feel like I have something to say. If I can see my friends go on stage and scream about things, I want to do it too. So then I just So I'm going to start a band called H2O as a joke, actually, at first. I made stickers. I made the name. I made T-shirts. I just jumped on stage and sang a couple songs with friends. I just kind of like spread, and then it kind of turned into something real. And now I've been in the band for 26 years now.
Wow. How did y'all get signed? And
Back then, there was no YouTube, no internet. You just had to really hustle. You had to make flyers and demos. You had to go to people and say, can I jump on and play a couple songs? Kind of bum rush people's shows.
So you'd have a promotional kind of kit or something with like maybe...
On our own, though, yeah.
But you, so you made it on your own, like in an apartment or something, and you guys would make your own covers and stuff like
Everything, super DIY.
So you would mail them out yourselves? Yep. So what would be in there? Like a demo, maybe a four-song demo?
Maybe a sticker, if you're lucky.
So a sticker, maybe four songs of an EP or something?
Lyric sheet,
And then you would send it, like, how would you... So you researched labels then, too, right?
Yeah.
Because you probably want to get on certain labels.
Yes, we had a label, and that kind of got spread out. We made 200, we sold them, and then that demo got into the hands of a record label, and they signed us.
Like off first listen?
They loved the demo. They wanted to, they were interested in hearing the full length of the same songs we recorded. So that was our first album on Blackout Records in 1996.
And how many songs were on that first album?
Maybe 12. That was standard back then.
Right. And then how
like a 30-minute record total, probably.
Right. But, well, punk songs are usually short. So, yeah.
Totally, yeah.
So that's cool. That's doable.
Yeah.
So what were your first kind of gigs like? Like live performing live and touring and all that?
First show was in Bayside, Queens in 1994 on Bill Boulevard's club called Raw. And there was a riot after we played. That was pretty crazy. Because there was some biker shit happening there. And the second show was the Limelight in New York with the Cro-Mags. That was our second
show. Oh, so they're notable New York
For sure. Legends.
Hardcore band, too.
Legends, yeah. That was our second show.
With them?
Yeah.
Were you intimidated meeting some of like other bands?
Yeah, yeah, because I moved to New York, and I was the guy from out of town. And it was all these people I looked up to. And they grew up in a different life. New York is a rougher, more street place than I came from. I came from Massachusetts to Rhode Island to Maryland to New York. And they all took me under their wing. There was like this tough New York love.
Yeah. So they accepted you like out the gate?
Yeah. They teased the shit out of me. But it was like that New York, like, only we can make fun of you. If somebody else does, we're going to fuck them up.
But
like
Henry Rollins isn't from New York, though. Isn't
he?
So he had
D.C.
D.C. So he had a from D.C.
Totally.
From the ice cream shop there.
And then Haagen-Dazs with Ian.
Haagen-Dazs. So he had to do the similar thing that you had to do.
Yeah. Well, he stayed in D.C. and he came to Cali. But yeah, it was just New York. They took me in. I started my band and we were like, very melodic for the sound of that time. It was more like
melodic
harder.
Punk. So it's a little different spin then. Okay.
My friends had more harder sounding vocals and the music had a more harder sound to it, maybe a little more metal. And I loved Melody. I loved 7 Seconds. I loved Descendants. I loved Dag Nasty. I loved the Ramones. I loved the Clash. I loved melodies always.
What about Dead Kennedys?
Loved Dead Kennedys. Some a billion times.
Yeah.
Back then. Great band.
Yeah.
They taught me about politics, actually.
Well, Biafra?
Yeah.
So what happened to him? Like, people like always wonder what happened
He's
to
around.
That. Like, he, no, but he disbanded from the group, right?
I don't know what happened there, but I heard he just dropped a brand new record that's amazing.
Really?
Jello Biafra's new band. Yeah, I just heard about it the other day.
He's still writing music?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So how long has he been out of the Dead Kennedys?
I don't know, man. Does Dead Kennedys perform without him? So that's something, I don't
know. Yeah, because they have this other singer, right?
Yeah, but I didn't care about politics, know anything about the government, any of that stuff. Dead Kennedys taught me so much as a kid.
Right,
I was thinking about that in the 80s.
They were a bit weird, too, for the time, right? Like, the way
really
they...
Really smart, man.
And
know?
They had, like, they come out with, like weird outfits and, like, these weird gloves and... Right?
Yeah. But he's singing about my governor, Jerry Brown, and all these different people I didn't know about, you know?
Right. They had a song talking crap on MTV, right? Like,
oh, yeah,
MTV,
get off
the
air.
Now.
Well, you got knowledge, too,
man.
Well,
no, I don't, not that much.
Nazi Punk's Fuck Off, too, is a classic.
Yeah. Yeah, I watch YouTube a lot, I don't go down rabbit holes.
Yeah.
So did you, so what were some of the other bands that you were touring with, and like, as far as, what were some major stories of like tours that you did overseas? Like, when did you start going overseas?
I went overseas as a roadie, though. Early 90s, was sick of it all as a roadie. Went to South America in 1992. Went to Europe in 1991 as a roadie.
Exactly. Can you explain what exactly, what's a job description for
a roadie? As
a roadie
for me, I was a terrible drum tech. I was leaving pieces of drums across America, and they brought me on tour because I was their boy.
A roadie's job is to...
Set the drums up, take them down, put them back in the cases, and put them in the van.
So it's to move the equipment around.
Yeah, but I was a drum guy. They have a drum guy only. That was my job.
So you're the drum roadie.
Drum tech, yeah.
Drum tech roadie.
I was terrible.
And so that must have been a fun job.
It was, except I messed up a lot and I always lost pieces of the drums. And then I might have graduated to something else after that, maybe a merch guy. And then for H2O, like, we were playing locally in New York, the Wetlands, Limelight, CBGBs a lot. And then at one of our shows, Dickie from the Boston's happened to be there, and he saw our band. And the following Monday, our booking agent got a call that said, Dickie from the Boston's was really impressed by your show. He wants to take you on tour. And the Boston's took us on a U.S. tour.
That's insane.
Changed our lives, man.
Is he a nice guy?
Amazing guy, man.
Because you know what's crazy? I've been buying a lot of, I was telling my intern, I've been buying a lot of Dickies.
I saw your Dickies over there.
That, like, if you look, okay, so I don't know why I've been every
I
night.
I just noticed
you
got piles of Dickies.
Well, I know those are all Dickies. I've been. I don't. I'm obsessed. I don't know
are
what.
You having a midlife crisis?
I think I am. I every night.
Dickie shorts.
Yeah. So everything's Dickies now.
Wow.
I'm getting every color. So I have olive green now. Three pairs of the brown. I have the navy blue.
Three pairs of brown.
Yeah, I made one into shorts that I'm wearing.
You rock brown good though.
Yeah,
brown
thank. Appreciate it, but So Dickie from the Boston's, right? Is he sponsored by Dickies?
Nah, they wore suits.
Because that
man.
Would be a very good of kind of package deal.
I'm sure they tried giving him stuff when they first came.
Yeah.
Out.
But you used to wear Dickies, right?
Hell yeah, heavy.
Can we talk about it
long
a little bit?
Dickie shorts, cut off Dickie pants. I love
Dickies.
Because
what is it? What is so appealing? Because I've laid in bed thinking, okay, I'm in my 40s now.
It's a West Coast thing for sure to me.
Yeah, but for me, you know, with skateboarding too, a lot of skaters used to wear Dickies.
Back in the day,
Back in the day. And then
or
a
Ben
lot
Davis.
Oh, you know about the
come
Ben.
Come on, man. About
you
ben
know
Davis.
About the Ben.
Oh,
yeah.
Ben Davis.
Yeah.
For me in New York, like, I love looking at the West Coast, Cypress Hill, all the different movies, the different culture of California, Cortez, Dickies, all that.
So it was a fashion, kind of like, it was a part of the cholo scene as well. Like
it was,
but
also Dickies was just everywhere in the 90s. Dickies and Carhartt, man, that was everything, man.
What was so appealing? Because it's cheap, you get it at the Army Surplus.
Totally, it's workman, winters, living through the winter.
So it's like Carhartt kind of deal.
Totally.
Price Dickies, range is fair.
Yes, at Kmart, you get them at Kmart. Yeah. Dickies.
So did you, what...
And they get soft really nice.
Yeah, when do they start becoming soft?
A while, man. It takes a while.
Because these are hot, like cardboard.
It's like starchy. It's so weird. Yeah,
so
it takes a minute.
So can we talk about that? How do you make a pair of normal Dickies?
You got to wash it a bunch, put softener in it, softener sheets in there, wear them. I don't know. We just wore them. We just wore the crap out of them until they all...
Because you have a picture on your Instagram with your bandmates, and it seems like they're all wearing Dickies.
Hell yeah. That was a 90s uniform.
It was
it was really the uniform.
So
it was cheap. It lasted long. You rock it on stage. And a good crotch to jump around.
And they won't rip?
No.
You can skate in them?
Game changer when they came out with Dickie shorts, though. Past
the
knee.
Oh, right, right.
Such a big crotch. And
yeah.
Like,
so you used to get all those colors?
We were sponsored by Dickies in the early 90s, bro.
You were sponsored by Dickies?
Yeah, I have a great story.
Holy shit.
So listen, I lived in a small part of Manhattan. We're about to go on a whole U.S. tour. And Dickie sent us our first boxes of Dickies, like 5 boxes. We picked out all the shit. And so we got all the Dickies, right? And then our crazy person, tour manager guy, took all the Dickies out and put them in black plastic bags, like trash bags, so we could squeeze them into the van. Because you don't want to squeeze boxes in the van.
Dude,
you have to
save
all the room.
Insane.
So somehow we were loading the van, and this moron left all the Dickies in black plastic bags, like trash bags, in front of the trash in Manhattan, in front of my house.
How many pair?
I don't know.
Tons.
Like 30, yeah. So
30 pairs of Dickies.
So we're almost into the Holland Tunnel, leaving New York to go on tour. And I was like, everybody got the, I said some of the Dickies and like, what? We knew where the Dickies, we had to turn around,
yeah.
Come all the way back and they were still in front of my house. Nobody took the garbage away.
So you had
full
a
full of
whole,
Dickies, dude. It was so
how
stressful.
How many different colors?
Every colorway, man. The grays.
Yeah.
I mean, the light grays, the charcoals, the blacks. We love khaki. The tans.
Oh,
classic.
Yeah.
They get dirty pretty easy, though.
So are you, what are the classic, the 874s? Are those the classic?
I don't know numbers.
Well, can I grab a pair? Yeah. I just wanted to see
what this is. You know it's ill, a whole Dickie uniform. You wear the Dickie button up with the pants. Yo, you know it's ill? You know it's like really 90s?
Yeah.
The black button up short sleeve Dickies with tan.
Oh, those, yeah, those are great. Those look clean. So these are the 874s.
I know there's a number to them. Okay.
Yeah, 874s. And these are just the regular.
They feel different than when I was a kid.
Well, what do you mean?
I'm so freaking old. Dude, does this look different? No, they're the same crap. Don't fix what ain't broke, right?
So, you know what I learned on YouTube the other day?
Yeah.
I hem these.
Creased them up?
Yeah, okay. I hem them.
Yourself?
Yeah.
Well, you sew too?
No. This is not sewing.
Oh, you did the iron with the melt?
Yeah. You know. You know, you're this. Oh, no.
Yo, because when you do that, you can't. Yo, No, you can't fold them up, bro, because it looks weird. Let me see your pants.
All right, wait, don't put me on blast now.
No, because
I just had to do it.
But you can only fold them one way. It looks weird.
I know.
Yo, I love you, dude.
Yeah.
You use that old school melting, that glue shit. I still use that. I put my punk patches on with that.
So, Toby, describe, talk to the viewers and listeners what this is.
You put this on?
I discovered this on YouTube the other night.
The other night? That's old school.
Yeah, I know. This has been around.
Yeah, so you could put that, line it up in here, and then fold it over, then use like an iron, and it melts it and glues it together, and that's it. And now you're fucked. Because when you pull these up, you're going to have to pull them like this. When you roll them up, it's like that, bro.
Yeah, it's okay.
Dude, I love it. Okay. I can't believe you found that on YouTube, bro. That's amazing.
Yeah, so I was like, because I wanted to learn, because I know, because I'm short, right? And they don't have, my waist is 32, but I'm a short guy, so these were like just really.
Yeah, what is
Chappelle,
it?
Are you shaming?
So you do 32, what do you Chappelle? Do, 32-29?
I'm like 32, like, Chappelle, be nice, please.
Is it 32-29?
I'm already sensitive about him talking about the Dickies.
No, I love that. Was a cute.
Chappelle,
you
please,
did it.
Please.
I love
that
he did it yourself. Yeah, yeah. When is one by Dickies right now?
By the way, timestamp this because I don't know if I want to. This part I'm a little sensitive about.
About what?
Because he's laughing about this whole the whole getup. This would be shorts on you. So anyway, what happened?
Where do you buy Dickies at now?
Okay, so this is what happened. I was on Hollywood Boulevard. You know, I don't like going up there. I've lived here for a while. I've been in this apartment 18 years. I know what's up there, trying to stay away from the tourists. But I happened to walk by. Oh, I know. I want to go check out the new Amoeba. I used to work at Amoeba.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, I haven't been to the new spot. Yeah. It's off Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah,
started walking up down the boulevard. Guess what? Oh, the Army Sergeant. The
classic Sergeant.
Yeah, the Sergeant Army Surplus. Sergeant Surplus Store.
Dope.
I used to love, because I used to live in Silver Lake. And
that's
had
when we
one.
Were kids, though, yeah.
Yeah, they used to have one in there, and I used to get Levi's from there. Walked in, and then, lo and behold, Ben Davis was in there.
Classic.
They had Dickies, and I'm like, oh, I want to buy a pair. But then from that moment, every night, I've been looking for...
Why do you need?
I've been looking for
my
every
question is,
color.
Why do you need two pairs of brown, though? How many pairs of brown you got over there?
All right.
How many you got?
This is what I did. You know why I had to buy another one?
Why?
So
you hemmed him too high. Why'd you have to get him? No, I love it. It's cute. It's from over there. Let's go. Brown's ill. Nobody can rock brown. You rock brown good, better than UPS guys.
How did you know that? That's what I did. How did you know that I hemmed
you
him too
him
high?
You fucked him up with the hem.
How did you
thing?
Know? Wait, hold up. How did you know that I hemmed him so high?
I don't know. There's no reason to have two.
This guy's smart, dude.
There's no reason to have
this
two pairs of brown.
This is a smart motherfucker right here.
There's no reason to have two
pairs
of brown Dickies unworn.
How many do you see on there?
Looks like three, bro. You're going hard with Dickies, man.
Yeah.
We need to get you sponsored. Everybody listen.
Oh, yeah,
a Dickies sponsor.
Do that right now. Do that right now. So
I know some of your Dickies now. Dickies
wait,
now, actually.
Ahead,
now.
Go ahead. Do it.
I'm going to tell them about
it. Yeah, let's do a little commercial.
If you're listening to this podcast or watching this podcast, my man's having a serious midlife crisis, and I back it 100% because I do that too once in a while. He's got 100 pairs of Dickies. He's got mad brown. If you work for Dickies, man, sponsor my man, dude. He fucking earned it. He spent like thousands of dollars on Dickies. And he looks good in the shorts. Sponsor this man with some Dickies.
Please.
Or just lace him up with like something, please. I'm going to connect you. Yeah. I'm not lying.
Do you really know a guy?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to take a picture after holding all his Dickies. I swear to God.
Can I tell you what I'm going to do? I have a plan. You know what I'm going to do next?
Yes.
Because you just planted a seed. I'm going to go back to the Army Sergeant.
And return
and
those.
No, I'm not returning. I'm keeping those forever.
You know you can return with them hemmed. You know that, right?
Really?
Who's going to know? Okay.
I'm going to buy those button-up shorts.
Hard.
Those are cool.
Don't wear brown and brown. They'll be too UPS-y. You can't be doing that.
Okay, so anyway, Dickies, if you're out there.
Shout out to Dickie from the Boston.
Shout out to Dickie from the Boston. And please, I support your brand. And I 100%. I'll wear Dickies every day. And I think
as he is.
I think I. So have you gone through a crisis like that? Like.
Yeah, I was a big sneaker guy for a long time.
You mentioned something like that.
And then my son started wearing the same size as me and started, can I swear on here?
Yeah.
Fucking up all my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially my Sean Witherspoons, one of my favorite shoes ever made.
Okay.
The Vegan 97s with the Air Max 1s. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, no. I don't
know.
The corduroy? I don't
know.
The corduroy.
Okay.
I don't know the model.
My son started wearing those to school. Wearing those to school.
Can we give your son a shout out?
Shout out to Maximus Morris. I love you, Maximus.
Shout out to Maximus.
I'm glad you wear a size 11 now.
And he's the one that skateboards.
Yes, he skates.
Keep it
everything.
Up, buddy. Keep up the good work.
But yeah, so I was a sneaker guy for a long time.
Yeah,
and then it gets expensive.
So what are some like? Are you in the Nike Air Maxes?
Air Max 1s. Yeah,
I don't understand.
I have an
that
Air Max
world.
1 tattoo. I love it.
You do? Where did you get those?
These are the Nike.
Can you take the right one off? I want to display it in front of the camera. These are special.
These are the Nike Roshe LD1000s. They came out 2000. They're vegan. That's why I rock them.
Where could you get a pair of these?
I found them on StockX because I had these in 2012, and they're so comfortable. So I'm bringing them back.
I mean, you can't get this at Foot Locker.
No, I'm bringing it back. Feel how light they are.
I know. I'm tripping out on it. Like, look at this.
And they're all synthetic. That's why I fuck with
them. So I don't know this world. Like, how do you find your shit? Don't you need to know a guy from Japan or something? Or
no,
some
you
buyer?
Don't. No, you have the internet now. It's easy, man. You can just Google shit.
What sites do you go to find something like
for
that?
For these, I searched eBay, which I thought could be sketchy. And I went to StockX because they verify everything you buy. It might be a little more money.
Is that a vendor?
StockX.com.
Okay.
So you order shoes that people are selling, and then they get sent to them first, and they verify them.
Yeah.
You get a certificate with the shoe that they are real.
What model of shoe? I don't even know what kind
those
are.
These are the Roshe Cortez LD1000.
I mean, that sounds like a shoe from outer space. A Japanese space shoe.
And they're super light. I just love them because they're light.
How many pairs of shoes do you have? Be honest about it.
No, I used to have hundreds. I used to have doubles of everything. I had boxes through all my closets, double of everything.
Is this real?
I was totally OCD.
How I'm with the Dickies now. You've been with your shoes.
Yeah, that's true. But I chilled out and I started wearing Vans, like the super light Vans, Comfy Cush. Those are super light.
Come on, dude.
And then this like running shoes.
Yeah. So how does one find? Like on Fairfax, is that a good deal? Because I went into one of those stores and it's like $8,000 for a pair of shoes, man.
I sold most of my collection at Flight Club.
Yeah,
I sold a bunch of my shoes back
in
the day.
It's by Cantor, all that.
Yeah.
So why do people go there?
I think more people do online now too. StockX and Goat. Those are good too.
Yeah,
Goat
but
website.
There's a used pair because they have on one of the stores there's used pairs.
That's round two, my friends.
Even the used pairs were like $500, $600.
Depends what they are, yeah.
So what makes a shoe valuable, like compared to another shoe? Like
to me, is that I don't wear any animal products, so I have to find the best comfortable shoe that has no animal products.
And you've always been like
always
animal
been, like,
rights, all that.
Mm-hmm. I haven't ate meat since 1988.
Good for you, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then
oh yeah, I promise. Yeah, my call my pain.
Wow. And then you know what? That makes me think of the book Animal Farm. Do you remember
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally.
That book tripped me out, like because you had to read it as part of the curriculum.
Because
those animals talked and they were like,
man.
You know, there was a whole hierarchy in government and ones that became like, you know, dictators and set rules for the other animals. Do you remember that?
That might happen soon.
Yeah.
You know
what?
It's sad, dude. I
feel like we're like, have you seen Back to the Future 2?
When
Biff steals the DeLorean and then he changes the space-time continuum, like creates another timeline.
That's where we are
where
now.
He owns a casino. Yeah, I feel like, dude, like not on some Mandela effect, maybe a little bit, but I think something happened. Where we shifted over into this other alternate dimension, where it was similar to like our other life on it's the same kind of setting, but
because
look what's happening, bro! Like it's 2022 and this is happening.
I know, man. It's so hard with the internet and everything's just magnified like 10,000 times. Everything's so magnified in your face all day long.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You can't avoid any kind of stress or any kind of sadness in the world. Like I always try to stay in my bubble, my lane. I do my podcast, I hang out with my family, I eat good, I hike, I kind of stay in this
years.
I kind of stay in this my little positive 27? Bubble
17 years
I kind of try to stay in my bubble, but you can't escape what's happening in the world. It's sad.
Yeah, it's sad. All right, so just
enough of that crap.
Our love goes out
to the Ukraine. Yes,
our positive thoughts and love goes out to the people of Ukraine.
Yes,
I'll leave it at that. I don't want to talk about it too
100%,
much. But as far as going back to your trajectory, man, like, so are you still, writing music and
haven't done a record in 7 years, but we usually take, the last three albums came out 7 years in between each other, so it's kind of a good luck number.
Yeah.
But it might be time to make something new.
What's your writing process like when you're about to do a new project?
I just write stuff. I write things that I'm feeling or going through. I do notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we get music, we make them, I can put it all together as a song. Especially if we add like a chorus or a melody. But the subjects, I write down all my subjects and start venting and writing stuff down. It's not in order. It's not organized.
So you write the titles down first?
Not the titles. Maybe the subject.
Subject. Shout out.
Loss, whatever.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Guru. But Gangstar.
Rest in peace, Guru.
Yeah. Gangstar used to do
that. Guru.
Oh, dude. This is just.
Look,
dude,
Tribe Called Quest.
You know what's...
Tribe Called Quest.
Everything I'm bringing up, he's like, I got a tattoo of it.
Yo, my man, Illmatic. Illmatic. Look, Onyx.
Oh, my God.
I'm tripping
This guy's tripping me out, dude. Holy.
Yo, my first Wu-Tang tat.
This is insane.
I'll show you some crazy. I got Biggie portrait. Yeah. I got a bunch of stuff.
But going back to the thing on Gangstar is they used to do, rest in peace, Guru.
Rest in peace, Guru, man.
Do their music like that where they come up with the titles first.
Yeah.
And then Guru, once he knew the title, then he would write the song.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that.
Yeah. That's interesting. They write the name of the song first and then build it around that.
Yeah, they build it around
that. So whatever subject they want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Like Premier would make the beat.
Yeah.
And then they would think of what's the song about, like what, A Code of the Streets, whatever, one of their songs. And then they'd be like, okay, this song's about this or that, or like Mass Appeal.
Above the Clouds.
Yeah, something like that. Then Guru would write to it.
Yeah. I love Gangstar. I mean, I feel like I wish I got to see them. I never got to see
you
Gangstar.
Know what? I didn't get to see
you
them.
You didn't either?
No, I didn't. But I did. I did get my Step Into the Arena cassette tape.
Ooh.
When I worked at Jamba Juice. It got.
He signed it. That's right.
Yeah, you told me that story.
Yeah, you
signed it. Yeah.
Wow.
I thought it was. He was just bluffing, but yeah.
How about Jazzmatazz? That was great too.
Yeah, the blue cover. Yeah.
So good.
Really,
man.
That was a great album.
I love their story too because he came from Boston to New York.
Then he talks about that song like this duffel bag on his shoulder.
Man.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
He's probably one of my
top lyricist, voice, everything.
Yeah,
right?
Just everything. Like, even their music, everything. Yeah.
Gifted, Unlimited Rhymes, Universal.
Yeah, and guys, dude, you should just. You know what? You should just teach.
I know. No.
You should be a teacher, man, because. Like everything he said, I'm like, how did he know that? And then he's like,
I turned Chappelle into Gangstar for sure.
Yeah. Gravediggers though.
I love Gravediggers, the Wu-Tang side thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then me and my friends, we used to get gold teeth made at Go Cap Charlie on Canal Street.
And then
and we got fangs.
Now
I'm admiring
what I'm seeing in your mouth, right? Like you're all the how do I get something like that? Can you turn to the camera?
I mean, these are this crown, so it's
because I'm missing teeth.
You should get some gold teeth in the back.
So how do I?
Gold's really good for your mouth. It's really soft. It's good for your teeth. You get a gold one, bro.
So how do I? The implants.
The dentist.
How do I do that?
So it's just like getting a crown instead of getting the regular one is, whatever the one they use for that. I get gold.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same price, and it's soft, and it's really good for your teeth. It's really good for you, actually.
And
I
then,
love it, man. I love it.
And then do they screw it in there?
Yeah, they grind your tooth down. They glue it in. They cement it in there.
What if you have no tooth?
Then they're gonna have to do some root canal. They're gonna have to do something for you. They'll get in there, dude.
Yeah,
you got it, bro.
And then how many of those do you have in there?
I have seven now.
God, those are beautiful.
Thank you.
Jeez, look how great they are.
I love them. I want to get more for sure, but it's a process.
Can we give a shout out to where you get those done?
I get these done on Wilshire at my doctor Kleinovia's office.
So
it's on Wilshire.
Dr. Kleinovia.
Yeah,
doing a great job. Doing a great. And then those are gold, right?
Gold,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it, man.
God, they look great. And when did you decide to do that? Such a great look.
I don't know. I got one for the back ones for a molar. I was like, wow, that's kind of cool when I smile.
Yeah.
And then when I started needing more, two of these I don't really need. I just did it because I was obsessed with getting more gold.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird to fuck up a tooth that's totally healthy just to do this. I did it twice because I really wanted ones up front. But.
Yeah. There's something like very, that's a classic kind of look. Like it makes me think of like old mafia movies or old boxers or something that used to, like movies that we grew up with.
What was the character called? Jaws or something? One of the movies.
Yeah, he had one of those.
Yeah,
I remember
that. Was from though.
One of the OG Jaws movies. He had one like right on the side.
Yeah.
In the front on the side.
You should go. I think you could pull it off.
You think so?
Yeah, you got tats, you got gold, you got dickies.
But you have, I mean, I haven't done, I need to start,
I know,
that's
man.
A whole different world there.
I know, I have a real addiction, I have a real problem with tattoos, man. I'm about to do my head, I did all my sides.
So is everything covered?
Everything's like, covered, man, yeah.
Everything?
I'm not doing my face.
What about your legs?
Not my tainted love, and not my Johnson.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah,
those are the two parts.
The nutsack, just leave the nutsack.
I'm leaving my shit alone, man.
Yeah.
I have friends who are fully tatted everywhere.
On their nutsack?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we won't say their names.
No names.
Anyway,
but I'm good. I'm chilling.
Dude, we got to get a part two. You know why we have to get a part two and a part three with you? Because I didn't know your knowledge kind of took me off guard, caught me off guard.
Okay.
And you were kind of throwing stuff at me that I wasn't expecting. Like you were saying stuff, I'm like, oh, how do you know that? And like, you kind of, because usually I'm the one that's telling the guest, oh, this album was, they really, you know, but you're like, dude, I did a show with him, or yeah, I met
him. No, I love hip hop, I love everything.
Yeah.
I knew you loved it too, though.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on modern day hip hop and music in general? Like the way it's released, like digitally, like what are your thoughts on that?
First and foremost, I love J. Cole. He's one of my favorites. And and Kendrick Lamar.
Those I love my, Kendrick. Love Kendrick.
Those are my favorite lyrically, musically, everything they do. I love mm-hmm. that they're really not on social media. They only come around when they have a new record. Mm-hmm. They just focus on music and the art.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that J. Cole moved back to the Carolinas where he's from. He keeps it low pro. I love artists like that. It's just really about the music and what they're into and not like all the flash, all the other stuff.
Right.
You know? And they're super talented. My son likes, he plays a bunch of stuff like Juice WRLD.
Mm-hmm.
I went and saw Travis Scott with him once. He mm-hmm. loves him. So my son turns me on to like the new young kind
of. Does he like
hip-hop.
Future and all that?
He likes Future, yeah.
Yeah.
Tyler the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
Turn me on to him, actually, my son.
So
did.
Are you aware, so you're into like, you're aware of those kids from like, because they're from Fairfax.
Yeah, the skate crew.
Yeah.
Totally. Golf, get golf,
the other,
whatever.
Who's the other kid? Earl Sweatshirt. Yeah.
Joey Badass from New York.
Yes.
Sick.
Oh yeah, yeah. So they're kind of like reminiscent to 90s, but a modern day version of what that used to be.
Mm-hmm. Vince Staples is great too.
Right.
But cool. Yeah. The ASAPs are sick. ASAP Ferg, ASAP yeah. Rocky. But Joey Badass got a really old New
I like
York
the
vibe.
OG ASAP Rock from what's the El Productos label? Def Jux. Do you remember?
Okay.
You remember Def Jux?
Maybe.
Yeah.
What about Griselda? You like that stuff?
I don't know.
Buffalo, New York.
No, I don't think I heard that. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm more like I know what the stuff you're talking about because like I just remember that time period. Like mm-hmm. as far as who's the Boogie Monsters? Who's EPMD or who's that? And then even the Dream Warriors, even though they like even like just kind of like or the UMCs.
UMCs,
yeah, like
leaders
like,
of the New School as well. That was part of the crew.
I mean, yeah, leaders. People don't realize that Busta Rhymes.
Charlie Brown.
Yeah, and Dinko D and all them.
That's where Busta Rhymes came from, yeah.
Were they a part of Native Tongues?
I don't know if they really were. They were kind of younger. They kind of came
younger.
A little later.
Chia Lee was.
Moni Love.
Queen Latifah. People don't know.
Queen Latifah
was a real artist.
Yeah. I loved her
she
growing
was,
up,
She had
man.
Albums, man.
Amazing albums.
So people don't know, they think she's an actress.
No, man.
She's a musician first and foremost.
And when she was really big, she had a video cassette VHS store in my neighborhood in Jersey City.
Yeah.
And she would actually be there. She had a video rental store as her spot.
Really?
Uh-huh. Well, and you remember Apache?
Oh, yeah.
He was my neighbor in Jersey City.
Oh, the gangsta bitch?
Yes.
Gangsta
he
bitch.
Dated Nikki D. They would walk around
Dude,
my neighborhood.
That song was huge.
I need a gangsta be what?
That that be
yes. So
yeah, that was your neighbor.
Yeah, in Jersey City.
So describe who Apache was.
Apache was an amazing rapper. This big song called Gangsta B,
and
he was dating Nikki D, who's also badass.
That
was a big song. He was also down with the Foo Schnickens.
Right?
Lords of the Underground.
Oh, yeah, but
here come the Lords.
I love Fushnikins.
Last move. We ain't got nothing to prove.
I thought they were Asian, too. I thought they were Chinese, too.
Because
I'm like, like Kung Fu.
Did you think Wu-Tang was, too, before you knew
Yeah,
about
I told you. I thought there was a couple Chinese guys.
Damn.
I'm like, finally, there's some Asian, there's some Chinese guys, Chinese rappers.
Yo, Fushnikins is sick, bro.
Yeah, so describe... Who the
they rap super fast. They were from Jersey. I'm not sure if it was from Newark
Five
or not.
Five was in Lash Move, right?
Yeah, in the video.
Yeah. Five. No, he had a verse too.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Five Dog. Hey, yeah.
Check
I remember,
you out.
Yeah, but I remember the video because I'm like, Five's like in their music
and they
video.
Rap super fast.
Yeah.
They had a couple big songs like Lash Move
or Dos Effects too.
Ooh, they want effects, bro.
Yeah. So I remember from that era, like the tongue twist, because you know. Cali's got like AC Alone and Mike and I and all that Freestyle Fellowship and all that. But on the East Coast, their version was what like Dos Effects and Fushnikins.
Who else? Sang
I don't
rap
know.
Fast like that.
Yeah, because New York had kind of your
the one chief rocker number one.
Yeah,
chief
Lords of the Underground too.
So you grew up on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And you love the East Coast. It seems
well,
you have a lot of knowledge.
I was mostly brought in because of the Far Side Beastie Boy. It was the Far Side and the Beastie Boys in Cypress Hill for some reason.
So good.
Because once I heard, I saw them in concert. I ditched wrestling practice.
Nice.
It was Henry Rollins' band.
What?
And I remember that because... our seats were like in the back, like it was an amphitheater, but I remember you could see into a crevice backstage. And when he was warming up, he was like literally like had his shirt off. He was like doing jumping jacks or he was doing something.
That sounds like Rollins.
Yeah. Where he was getting pumped up and like, you know, I saw, does he have a sun tattoo?
Yeah.
And I just saw, I'm like, oh.
Damn, she probably heard that. Rollins jumping up and down, getting
hyped
for his
show. He was like getting pumped. I remember as a kid in my junior year, and I'm like, "Oh,
sick.
Who's that?" But then I remember when the Beastie Boys performed, either Ad Rock or one of them's like, "Don't mind us, we're on mushrooms." So
I've seen, yeah.
So I'm thinking, like, how, in my mind, I'm like trying to process, like, how are these guys
functioning?
Yeah. Like, how are they remembering all their songs on mushrooms?
Is there a different sorts of levels of mushrooms or something?
I don't know. I just remember he like disclosed that to the crowd. Like, don't mind us. We're on mushrooms. Like,
what if they really were? Or is that kind of being shocking?
I think
then?
They were, because they were doing some bizarre. You know, like the Beastie Boys, they're like in the Far Side 2.
Yeah.
Back then, they were the masters of like routine. Like, they had routines and stuff like that when they performed.
Synchronized.
Yeah, they would be very animated.
Beastie Boys are the best, man.
Oh, I mean, come on, dude.
Paul's Boutique or
License? Oh, yeah.
Or License to Ill.
Paul's Boutique.
Me too.
Paul's Boutique.
Me too.
Although they have this guy. I mean, we
that's one of the most sampled.
He's got,
yo,
we gotta get a part
Stevie,
two with him.
That's one of the most sampled records ever.
And, the
and they got away with it because it was before the sampling stuff.
So this, shout out to the Dust Brothers.
Dust Brothers, yeah.
This guy knows a lot. And we need to do a part two. Look,
I'm having my podcast.
Look
too.
What time it is. It flew by.
Yeah, I'm having my podcast too, though.
Oh, dude. I'd be 100%. Honored. I would be honored. I could talk about this shit for 5 hours with you.
I'm trying to think if we missed anybody in the hip hop world in New York that we should really love to.
Well,
I mean, Big Daddy Kane, obviously.
Oh, Large incredible. Professor. Oh, Main
Large
Source.
Professor.
Main Source.
Main Source. I'm
main
looking
source.
Out the back
Breaking
door.
Adams. Breaking
live
Adams.
Live at the barbecue.
Yeah, yeah, live at the barbecue. But Breaking
Woo!
Adams. Yeah.
Sally got a
dude,
one.
You know
yo. Yo, Stevie.
Dude,
Sally got a one track mind.
With me.
It doesn't matter if it's yours or mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Diamond D. Wow.
So Diamond D, I mean, as far as New York production, like Lord Finesse, Diamond D.
Large Professor.
Large Professor.
Premier.
Premier.
Q-Tip.
Prince Paul.
Prince Paul. De
Prince
La Soul.
Prince Paul, dude.
And Gravediggers and all that,
Prince
right?
Prince Paul,
yeah.
Dude, all the way. You know why Prince Paul? Because I knew he was like a nerd. Like, you know how, like, we nerd out on video games? He was that way too, man.
Yeah.
Like, old interviews, you know, he had, like, the keyboard or one of the first samplers. Mm-hmm. And he was, like, sampling Disney records and stuff like that.
Back then. How about Craig Mack? Craig Mack.
Oh, yeah. Flavor for you. Yeah, flavor in your ear. Yeah.
What about Jay with the Damager? Bro.
So what this guy
amazing,
I mean, this
dude.
Could be a 2-hour
the
thing.
The sun will rise in the east.
Yeah. But this is the when I first
Gangstar put him on.
But when I first heard that dun, dun, dun,
you want to fuck jump up again.
But the,
come clean.
The drops the acid the drops of that. I'm like, what the hell is that?
My wife loves that song still cuz they played at the club she worked at all the time. Come Clean by J-Ru.
So shout out to J-Ru the Dam. Dude, you didn't tell me like his knowledge was I'm just letting you know. You didn't tell me his knowledge was this extensive.
I'll do a part two.
Yes, cuz that just flew by.
We'll talk on my pod next and we'll finish this and we'll go into your life too.
Can we now cuz time flew by. It feels like only 5 minutes
have
passed, but we're basically wrapping up now. I want
Public Enemy though. Okay.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
I need that tattoo.
Chuck D. Oh, you don't have the Public Enemy.
That's the only one I'm missing.
You got to get the target.
Public Enemy is punk rock to me. The Target. Yeah,
you got to get that somewhere.
You know what that picture is in the Target?
No, I don't.
Look at it after the podcast.
Oh, there's a message. There's someone in. Oh, okay. I don't know.
I want to say in the podcast because I get it wrong. But
okay, let's. If you have a website or anything you want to plug right now, can we plug your website or your podcast?
OneLifeOneChance.com. You can go to One Life One Chance Podcast Instagram. You can go to Toby Morris on Instagram, and that's where you find me. That's where I'm at.
Anything else? Can people get merch anywhere? If
you go to h2omerch.com. You get merchandise there. Tour dates, everything's up on there. You can find out what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
H2O Family on Facebook. People go to Facebook still.
How long have you been doing your podcast, by the way?
Over 2 years now. Yeah,
2 years. And just before we end, what compelled you to do it?
One of my friends told me I should start a podcast, and he's like, I'm going to send you this Focusrite machine. I'm going to tell you how to do it.
Yeah.
I think you'd be great. You should do it. And I was really skeptical about it, and I started doing it, and just, I don't know, I love doing it. It's really therapeutic. I like it.
Because you get a good eclectic
diverse,
mix. Yeah, diverse musicians, and you've had a lot of skaters lately, right?
Yeah.
Like you just had Brayden and Manny on as well, yeah. And then how did you meet all like the skate community?
I skate ramps. I met a bunch of people back in the day skating at Brooklyn Projects on Melrose.
Oh, really?
There was a ramp.
Right in the back there?
Yeah, they ramps at every single spot. And my son used to go there skating. So I would skate there. And then my wife's been working at the barracks for like 6 years now.
Really?
So my son.
So she works there.
Yeah, my son kind of grew up skating there. Mm-hmm. And then I met Caballero and these dudes on the Warped Tour back in the day because there would be a ramp. So they'd be skating while we were playing.
The Bones of the OG Bones
Cab,
Brigade.
All those dudes. Rick Thorne, they'd all be on that.
Tony, all that.
So they'd be on that.
Lance Mountain.
He wasn't on that, but it was mostly Cab. And then Hasori and those guys I met. And it's crazy, man. I grew up loving those dudes. Now they're my friends, but they're still legends to me and
heroes
to me.
That was a damn good shoe, too, though, the Caballero.
yeah,
the half caps.
It's the number one selling shoe, signature shoe in history of Vans.
I'm gonna look those up tonight. I want a pair of those. It's been a couple years.
Don't start buying 100 pairs of fucking half caps.
No, I'm not. We're gonna edit out all the Dickies talk.
I'm gonna take a picture. Okay. I swear right now. I'm gonna take care of you.
But like in my defense, it was a mental thing with me.
Yeah.
It was one of those things you see Skittles and you're like, they're all one color, right? And you're like, and then you get a pack and you're like, oh, there's yellow and purple. And yeah. Like I got, because I just got olive green. So now, it's one of those things where it's like an OCD thing.
How old are you now?
I'm in my mid-40s.
Oh, yeah. It's a midlife crisis, yeah. But it's fine. It's healthy. It's not like you're doing crazy
shit. It is a midlife crisis.
But you're buying Dickies, not buying drugs.
But you're around my ballpark too, right?
I'm about to be 52, man.
Okay, but we're around the same.
Yeah, you know.
I know you got a couple years on me, but I'm right behind you is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I like your energy, though. I feel like we can hang out real life.
Oh, for sure. I mean, look at the way I live.
I love it, dude.
It's like a dorm room.
It's got a New York vibe to it.
This does?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
So this could be in New York.
100 million
you know what,
percent,
dude?
Yeah.
That made my day.
What, you wish
that
you were...
Me,
you
that kind of made me feel
you
good.
You wish you were in New York right now?
Yeah, I really respect that. New York's so cool to me.
Is that original Midnight Riders?
I don't know how long I've had this. And I know for a fact you could probably... name every single one on that.
Yeah, that's another episode, though.
Yeah, that's another episode.
Damn, there's so many good people in there.
So thanks again. That flew by. And we're going to get a part two, part three.
Was that good energy? Was that good?
Yeah, dude. That just was...
I don't know if you should keep the...
know why it was good? Because you were doing stuff. Usually I'm dictating stuff.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm used to having a podcast. I like the way you were throwing group names and producers and rappers. Okay. In my mind, I had to brace myself. Like, how do you know that? Oh, he knows that.
I don't even drink caffeine.
Oh, he knows that. Oh, he knows that.
Imagine being a Red Bull. That'd be scary. I'm not doing a Red Bull.
Oh, no. You're good the way you are.
The new Kanye West documentary is incredible, by the way.
Okay, can we give that a shout out?
Yo, there's three episodes. The third one came out today. I've always loved Kanye, but obviously people see him how he is now or how he was then. His boy followed him from the very beginning, quit his job, and followed him and filmed him from the beginning till now. It's beautiful, man.
And where could people watch that?
I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah?
It changed my opinion on him.
Really? In what ways?
I just understand him and the rejection, everything he went through to be taken seriously as a rapper and not just a producer.
He was a great producer, though.
I know, but he's an amazing lyricist as well.
He's a great artist.
But when you see this, you understand
why
what he's been through to get where he's at. I totally get you. Agree? It's crazy.
Have you seen it, too?
It's
called what?
And I feel like Chappelle got a little emo watching this too. I'm not gonna blow up his spot, but emotional watching it. Yeah.
So do you think it's a fair take and a depiction of him in his life?
100%.
What's it called again?
Genius.
And it's his good friend who quit his job, who was a comedian, flew to New York and just started filming this guy before nobody really knew who he was, man.
That's insane.
It's incredible, man.
Yeah, I'll definitely check that out. It's three-part series.
Yeah, two episodes out now.
Cool. So that flew by.
That was awesome, dude. Thank you, Chappelle.
Yeah, thank you,
thank
Chappelle.
Thank you, Stevie. Thank you,
yeah,
man.
No, anytime. Go to patreon.com/StevieWeeby if you want to help support the platform. Oh, Scissor Bros. We drop new episodes every Friday. Go to youtube.com/Scissor Bros. StevieWeebyBandcamp.com for any music stuff. StevieWeebyShow.com for my website, for merch. Just know it's the shipments may be delayed because of what's going on now.
A lot of things are backed up.
Yeah. It's going to take a while. And I think that's about it. Oh, can you say your Instagram one more time?
I just Toby Morse, TobyMorse. That's my personal
account. No dot or no period. Toby Morse.
Straightforward.
Just
man.
Toby Morse.
Straightforward.
And then Mongs, QUANGOU. And then thanks again for linking us up, Chappelle. Dude, that just flew by, brother.
Thank you for having me, man.
Dude, anytime.
You'll be seeing him on my podcast next.
My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crib. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip was so full of angst. Him and Henry Warwick Peckers did a song and dance at bit. Oh, rodeo man in the West, you can. You're the best on the land to bless the sands. Do the bull with your hand, oh Skip, you can. Get that fucking bull, pull on that rope. Feeling stir crazy, maintaining against the grain. Making me wanna get
a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal, a male. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after a female.